I would like to welcome you to the October 25th meeting of Aiken City Council. And at this time, we're going to have council prayer, followed by that, the Pledge of Allegiance.
Almighty God, bless the leaders of our great nation and city, that we may be a people of prayer who seek you and your wisdom in all that we say and do, tonight and every day. We humbly beseech thee to provide for the needs of all of our citizens, to give wisdom and vision and clarity to our council and staff, so that they might be faithful to serve you and all of our citizens in everything we do. Keep all the men and women of our armed forces, both at home and abroad, safe, and give them courage to face the perils at hand. Finally, teach our people to rely on your strength and to accept the responsibilities to their fellow citizens, and for the elected leaders to always listen and to make wise decisions for the well-being of our community. This we ask in your name, O Lord. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, at this time, would there be any additions or deletions to the agenda? If not, do we have a motion to accept the agenda as written?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, all in favor, let it be known by raising the right hand. Passes unanimously. Consideration of the minutes of the regular meeting of October the 11th and the work session of October 5th and 14th.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I'm just going to make a motion instead of good. That we adopt the meeting minutes of October the 11th and the work sessions of October 5th and the 14th.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor, let it be known by raising the right hand. Okay. Any opposed? Okay, moving on to old business, we have appointments to boards and commissions. I think we have 7 pending appointments to boards and commissions of the city, and 1 appointment that's presented for council's consideration tonight. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. That one appointment tonight is an appointment by Dick DeWire for Dr. Rosalie Fox to the Recreation Commission, filling the unexpired term of Derek Martin.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
Mr. Mayor Pro Tem, I would move that we approve the nomination of Dr. Rosalie Fox to the Recreation Commission.
Second, Mr. Mayor Pro Tem.
Okay, with a motion and a second, all in favor, let it be known by raising the right hand. Passes unanimously.
And I would add that Dr. Rose Foxley is in the audience, and we thank her for agreeing to serve.
Thank you, Dr. Fox. I tell you, our city is blessed with tremendous talent and the willingness to volunteer, and we are so thankful for each one of you for all that you give to our city. Thank you. Is there any other recommendations for appointments that needs to be made tonight? Okay, if not, then let's move to the second item of business, the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to approve the annexation and concept plan for Meadowbrook Acres Apartments. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. I will just read this by its title. It's an ordinance to annex the corporate limits of the city of Aiken, certain property consisting of 14.95 acres of land, more or less, owned by Pamela Hunt, and to zone the same planned residential PR and to approve proposed concept plan. We had a lengthy discussion with the developer concerning this at the last meeting. There are 7 conditions which he has agreed to, and he has stated and talked to our staff about putting the emergency entrance, as we discussed the last meeting. One of the thoughts also then would be having a sidewalk that he'll be installing going towards the schools, with the city putting in a lighting system. So for your consideration tonight, this is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex 14.95 acres along Wire Road west of Jaws Lane as planned for residential and to approve the concept plan for the Meadowbrook Acre apartment complex.
Okay, thank you. Do we have someone here tonight representing Meadowbrook? Okay. If you would come up forward just in case there might be some questions. Okay, at this time, do we have a motion and second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second.
Second. Discussion? If you'd like to share with us.
Certainly. My name is Jake Ramsey. I'm with the developer for the proposed Meadowbrook Acres development. We did, as Mr. Lazoo said, we did discuss the development in great length at the last meeting. I think we covered most of the bases, except for a few stipulations that were brought up at that time, which was the 5-foot vinyl coated chain link fence along the lots that abut our property and Crossland Park. The sidewalk, which was on the original concept plan, we relocated that per some discussions with the public safety director, and the addition of the emergency access off of Jaws Lane. We have added all three of those to a revised concept plan, which we have submitted to the planning department. So I just want to let you guys know that.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, we'll, on page 49, I think we'll have to change item 2 now. To me, that still reads, does that read properly for what we have now?
This is the language that when Gary rewrote this thing, felt like it covered what you had asked for last time, and they have complied with the fact that emergency access would be placed.
So here it says, except an emergency, it may be required. I mean, it is part of the plan now. So we probably need to change that word. I don't know the proper procedure. Because he's got it on his plan. He showed it to me prior to the meeting. So how do we go about
it? We're still actually reserving the right. If Pete decides he doesn't need it, he could still tell him you can take that off the plan if you want to.
Well, but it's still a city ordinance, though, that it is required unless we give an exception.
Right.
And I guess I'm not in right now, I'm not in the spirit to give an exception for, you know, an emergency access, which basically is economical because it's make it out of dirt, dirt road.
If that's council's desire, we can certainly reword that clause. We could reword it to say that the emergency access shown in the plans being approved by council will be developed. Or we can just delete paragraph 2 because you're approving the concept plan and the concept plan shows the emergency access.
I think that would be the easiest to do.
Just delete paragraph 2.
Yeah, and being a standing requirement to have that second access.
Okay.
Yep, fine with me.
Jake, did you have conversations, and I know I was not at the last meeting, but did you have conversations with the school district about your plans for this and their opposition to?
I have not had a conversation with anyone specifically from the school district. We do understand their concerns, and they actually have requested one of their main concerns was the access. That's why we've chosen to make it not a permanent public access, more of an emergency access, if you will.
So. Do they seem to be okay with that?
Honestly, I couldn't say, not having had any conversation with them.
The basic concern that we had heard from the school district early on was they didn't want to have traffic coming from the apartment complex on a Jaws Lane.
Right.
This emergency access would not allow the general public to use it, only public safety.
Okay.
It would be a crash gate, essentially.
That's correct.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And the crash gate is in and out? In
for public
out.
Safety, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, a couple of bollards, I think, is all you need there. Just once the grass grows up on it, you probably won't even know it's there. I'm fine with that revision, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, we had a motion and a second. Are y'all willing to accept that revision?
Do I need to move an amendment to that? Do we need to suspend the motion and then amend it?
If the mover and the seconder would just consent to your proposal to remove paragraph 2.
Yes.
Yes, okay. We do.
Okay. Mr. Evans, would you like to say something?
Yes. One comment on that number 2. Excuse me. You really need to keep the wording about the waiver for the stub out, because the ordinance requires a public, permanently open stub out. If you don't want them to have that permanent, publicly open stub out, you need to grant the waiver from that requirement. You could still keep the wording about the emergency access, but if you're not going to require the permanent public connection, you need to keep the waiver wording in there, in number 2.
And I guess we did similar back when we did the Woodside development.
Yes.
Back in August, we did the same thing because it's kind of landlocked at this stage, and that's fine with me. Bert?
So you would just be deleting the language that's in brackets on page 49, carrying over to page 50.
Yeah, that's right. That's correct, sir.
Yes.
I think you need to be aware that as the council body received other concerns regarding this apartment complex as well, and so that you will know what you're faced with in terms of ensuring that the image of this area is maintained. It doesn't attract a degree of crime and those kinds of things. I personally believe that apartments and residential areas can live harmoniously in the same area. The only thing that troubled me the last time is that fence, that wire fence. And wire fence seems to give a negative connotation in terms of what a community look like. And that's the only thing, only concern, large concern that I had in terms of a wire fence. But I'm told that based on the color, it's not going to impact the attraction much at all. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. Because it's a vinyl coated, not your typical galvanized chain link that is, you know, unsightly. The vinyl coated black fence is you know, probably about as close to invisible as you're going to get with a fence.
Are you going to have some shrubs or any planting in front of the fence at all? It's just going to be open.
There will probably be plantings along the fence. We hadn't planned to do it on both sides, but that's something we can
consider. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Did we resolve the issue on who's providing the water? Because as I recall, we had an issue as to how we were going to build the sewer if we didn't provide the water.
I'm looking for Larry Morris. Larry? I believe we were looking at a master meter. So that's what we finally adopted?
If it is determined that, well, I think it has been determined that we are in the Montmorency-Couchton Water District. And if that's the case that they wish to master meter the development, then you know, that's, and my understanding is that's what they desire to do.
With a master meter, it's very simple for us to get one reading per month and then bill that out on a sewer building itself. That would be the only billing that we would have with them. We've been in discussion with them that if Couch and Montmorency cannot furnish the amount of water that their engineer says that they must have, not only for domestic service but for fire service, then they're to get a letter from Couchton Montmorency stating that they cannot supply the water, and then that would give us the right to go ahead and supply.
Answer what you're...
Yeah, so, but is it appropriate for us to approve the project not knowing who's going to provide the water?
Yes, sir, I would think so, because even if Couchton Montmorency does provide the water with the project having a master meter, then we have one entity, one legal entity to look to pay the sewer bill instead of each a different apartment. It becomes much easier for us then to collect our sewer fees from the apartment.
Okay, and then you'll figure out who gets to pay what?
Yes, sir.
Good luck.
It will likely be something that's built into the rent.
Sure, okay. Situation. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we have a motion and a second. accepting this ordinance and deleting the writing that's in brackets on page 49 and 50. Seeing any more discussion? This is the second reading and public hearing. Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak on this issue? If not, it's back to City Council. At this time, we've got a motion and second. All those in favor, let it be known by raising your right hand. Motion carries unanimously. Third item is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance revising the Aiken City Code concerning the abatement of nuisances and dwellings unfit for human habitation. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. There's actually two ordinances combined in here, and I'll read them both by title. It's an ordinance revising Chapter 10 of the Aiken City Code to include Section 1011 to govern the abatement of nuisances. And the second one is an ordinance revising Chapter 10 of the Aiken City Code to amend Section 10-4 to dwelling units unfit for human habitation. There were some questions at the last meeting concerning the enforcement and how we would go ahead and deal with this. And because Councilmember Homolke was not at the last meeting, we decided to hold off on this second reading until he was back. And I'll ask Ben Moore to come up here, if you all don't mind, so he could answer any questions you have. But I believe that Ben's had an opportunity to talk to Steve about this and hopefully answer most of the questions and the revisions being made.
I just wanted to start off and talk about some of the revisions that Councilman Homolke and I discussed that we felt would be appropriate. It's starting with on page 77, you have 1011, which is the abatement of nuisances, that ordinance specifically. There was a concern about reference to morals in it, which is mentioned a number of times. With nuisances, morals classically refers to things like prostitution, drugs, illegal gambling, maybe animal fighting, things of that nature. In looking at it, I don't have a problem with this being removed. I feel like most of these things are already covered. If you look specifically on page 79 at the top, there's subsection 9. It's a specific clause talking about the types of buildings that would be having the kind of problems that the moral clause is intended to address. Specifically talks about lewdness or prostitution, sale of illegal substances. Most of the things that we're talking about will be covered by the health and safety as well, so that the morals really isn't necessary language in here, but be up to council to decide if we want it in there. But I'm certainly feel like we've covered the areas that classically morals deals with, or they can be covered under health or safety as well. There was also a reference to the enforcement officer's investigation, about five citizens complaining. This will be on page 80. Investigation by city staff D. In our previous version, it talked about if five citizens complained, the building official would basically investigate. The reality is the building official is going to investigate if there's one person complaining and wouldn't be obligated unless he finds there is some merit to the complaint and on his own decides that there is something that is worthy of a abatement of a nuisance to abate, something worthy of issuing a warning or an actual ordinance summons. So that language was removed. Finally, in the penalty section, this is on page 82, M penalty. There was some concern about this offense carrying incarceration, says up to 30 days. And I certainly understand that concern. If we remove that, it would only be a fine. And I think that's as appropriate as well. If you had someone who did not comply with an order of the court does have contempt powers. And also, there's a state statute that makes it unlawful not to show up on an ordinance summons if you've gotten actual notice. So those issues certainly could be addressed elsewhere if necessary, but the intention was not for this to be an offense necessarily carrying jail time. So those would be the alterations. Remove the references to morals in this one, to the five citizens having to complain to warrant an investigation, and the 30 days imprisonment.
Ben, I think one concern that was voiced back at the first reading of this was, I think that some council members thought that this investigation by the city staff would be pending upon these citizens. If they actually came before them and this five-member or four-member city staff, whatever, the official said that they were in violation, then they could immediately, if they did not comply, face the fine or the 30 days. But it's my understanding in reading this ordinance that before that happens, they have to go to municipal court. Is that true?
That's true. What happens is if the building official finds that there is an offense, basically a nuisance, the building official has the ability at that time to issue an ordinance summons. Person would be at that time given a court date, and basically that's when the actual go before the judge for enforcement. What we've found in talking to staff is the ordinance summons and summoning somebody to court is the actual mechanism that seems to get results. Our experience is when someone gets the ordinance summons and the court date, what usually happens, almost, I think it's happened every time since I've been here, they fix the problem, the ordinance summons gets dismissed, and that's the end of it. But these other procedures like sending letters and other things don't seem to get the response and don't seem to get the problem, the nuisance abated, like an ordinance summons. It's like people finally take us seriously when we give them that ordinance summons.
But these folks who are accused will have to go through due process before.
Absolutely. They have a right to a trial in front of the judge. They even have a right to a trial by jury. And they'd have the right to, if they were convicted, they'd have the right to appeal it all the way to the South Carolina Supreme Court. And potentially the United States Supreme Court, but that's unlikely. But so,
the objections I had dealt with the definition of morals. If you go back in the minutes, you said the morals would cover things like dogfighting, prostitution. I would have thought we had legislation on the books that already prohibited some of those things. So I think the morals is too loose a term. Yeah, I think we ought to, you know, tighten it up a little bit. The second thing is, as you and I chatted, I think using prison as a tool to collect fines or to induce somebody to show up at court or make whatever corrections they need at their property, I think, is a little bit beyond the pale for what we're really talking about here. The thing about if a person ignores the court and is in violation or contempt of court, then there's other means to put that person in jail. I don't think we should have the stipulations about the prison on, you know, in this ordinance. And the final point, and you and I chatted about this, it's my understanding that just by virtue of the position of an employee in the municipality, that does not give them the authority to issue summonses. I think there should be a more of a formal procedure whereby these individuals that are going out and issuing summonses, they should have some kind of a warrant, like a police officer or something. It should be documented. Otherwise, you're talking, like we chatted about, you know, almost like a citizen's arrest, if you will. And I'm not sure what the procedure is. And, you know, there's that stipulation in the section 5732, which you and I chatted about a couple of minutes ago. I think that procedure should be formalized, and I believe a police officer or a peace officer or a sheriff's deputy or what have you has to specifically be authorized and sworn before they can actually issue a summons. I may be wrong on that, but you can't just put a badge on today and issue a ticket without, you know, some kind of a formal procedure of making that person a law enforcement, ordinance enforcement person.
Right, and it's per the state statute that we found today, it states a municipality may appoint and commission
that's the key, commission.
Code enforcement officers.
Yeah, but you don't say anything about commissioning those individuals in this ordinance.
I have a question as well. Did you?
Well,
I
would say that if, and this came up today, but if there is a deficit there, I think it'd be better addressed in a separate ordinance that says this is how we commission code enforcement officers. Because you have a lot, they have the power over a lot of other ordinances, and really just putting it in this one wouldn't really address it if it needs to be addressed. I haven't researched this specific part of the code. I know we have certain officers that we designate as code enforcement officers, but I haven't participated in the past in whether we appointed them through council or whether we had the city manager commission them or exactly what our process is. It kind of came up after we looked at that statute, so I apologize. But
no, I just, you know, if you think it's better to have a separate, you know, if it's not attached to this, but the people that are going to be enforcing this should have some kind of vehicle identifying them as specifically authorized to issue those summonses.
I'm not quite sure. I'd agree. We're getting carried away. We asked for this ordinance because we wanted the authority to deal with people who in the past had been flouting our standards, starting a project and not finishing it, etc. We're looking for a means to get that under control. I like the idea of the prison being in here, and quite frankly, I think it's our job to say, you can't do this in Aiken, and if you do, this is the punishment, and that constrains the judge in terms, as I expect it would be. Help me out if I'm not reading this properly, but the judge is constrained in punishment based on what this body says is an appropriate punishment for what we're trying to prevent. We're getting bigger than we need to be, I think. We're talking about commissioning our code enforcement officers. Most of them are commissioned anyway. I mean, if we can't trust them, why are we hiring them? I don't think we've had a problem with with our code enforcement people. If anything, the problem has been that we haven't given them the rules to deal with this kind of nuisance effectively. I like the way it's written.
Councilman Dewar, I totally agree with you. This ordinance was written because we have had instances in the past that it's taken a lengthy time with the current ordinances on the books in order to get these situations cleared up. We've had problems with houses that have been burned out. That's very unsightly for the neighbors and in a neighborhood. And this ordinance is going to allow us to deal with these problems more speedily. We're not looking in the city of Aiken to use this ordinance as a hammer and just drive through neighborhoods and pick out somebody that didn't mow the grass or and hammer them with this ordinance. This is to deal with the heavier, the bigger issues that we're faced with and to get them cleared up more speedily. And I know a lot of us council members were involved in some of the burnout houses that we've just had a lengthy process that we've had to go through. So this would clear that up. And I agree also with Councilman Dewar that, you know, the things that's in this ordinance, I mean, when I read, we're getting hung up on the morals. And when I read this ordinance and what it says about the morals, it's saying anything that's detrimental to the health, to the safety, to the morals, or otherwise hazardous to the welfare of the residents. It's not saying anything about them doing anything morally. It's saying that if your neighbor does something that's detrimental to your health, detrimental to the safety of our citizens, detrimental to the morals of our citizens. So it's not saying that morally we can go after anybody for whatever they do. It's just saying that, you know, if I'm living next door to you and I'm doing something that's detrimental to your health, then that gives us the right to go in there and clear that up. And I think that's exactly what we ought to do.
Well, one of the things which concerns me is we're all sitting here. We all have the right intentions and so forth. But where in the ordinance does it say it's designed only for the egregious situations and so forth? See, you got to kind of look downstream 5-10 years from now. You could run into a situation where it's going to be used not wisely, or you know, it's going to be used punitively. You know, you got to define it. Otherwise, my morals and your morals, could be totally divergent. You know, how do you prove this is morally, I mean, I understand if whatever you're doing is affecting my health, you know, if you're spraying my place or whatever. But that's not a moral issue. I mean, there's a, you know, you're spraying, you're, you know, acting in a manner which could be controlled. The definition of morals is as wide as this room or this city or this state. I mean, I don't think you and I could really agree on the what is morally proper and what is morally not.
You know, Councilmember, I fully understand what you're saying from that perspective, but we're not saying what you're doing as a neighbor has to be morally acceptable to me. We're saying in this, it's just probably wording that pretty much any ordinance dealing with this has to have, and it's just included in there that anything that I do that's detrimental to your health, detrimental to your morals, to be totally honest with you, I think that if someone came to the city officials and said, you know, my next door neighbor is doing something that's harming my morals, I think there's a full investigation that's being, according to this ordinance, that's going to be done into that. And I mean, they're not going to entertain any crazy ideas. I mean, this is pretty much black and white. It's dealing with heavy, big nuisance issues that are going to allow us to deal with these issues more speedily. Here again, we are not bypassing due process. If five people come and complain to the city of Aiken that there's a huge nuisance. And if city staff at that time goes and investigates this and finds indeed that it is a nuisance, then at that time they're going to make the recommendation. They're going to write them up. They're going to give them a summons to court or give them an opportunity to clear it up. If it's not cleared up, then they're summons to court, not to just to be slammed, but for a hearing as to what they're doing. I mean, if we can't trust this process, folks, then what do we trust?
Well, I agree with you, but like I say, this is an ordinance. I mean, like I say, we all understand by our discussions what we mean by morals. 10 years from now, 15 years from now, something like this could be used punitively or for some kind of egregious purposes, unless you take that out. And then, you know, it's such a loose definition of morals. Well, trust me.
Well, council member, this ordinance can be revisited at any time. Whatever we pass tonight, if 6 months from now we see that it's not working, we see that there is a problem with a certain portion of it, we can revisit it. We can change it at that time.
If we're going to use the word morals, then we need to state it deals with dwellings, unsafe conditions. It doesn't hurt to have a footnote to define what we mean by morals, so that if anybody else is looking back, we'll know that it doesn't mean that I'm trying to judge someone's personal character.
We could remove the word morals,
could
and I don't think any of us would be upset.
The word moral.
The ordinance is still doing what we want done.
Could we take out the word morals, Ben? I don't detrimental to someone's morals.
In my opinion, we'd be able to enforce what we need to enforce, and that's kind of what I said at the beginning when I really looked at it. When you looked at that subsection that mm-hmm. we already have in there, that's more specific. If you look at things like, you start going through actual hypotheticals like, okay, somebody's having cockfighting or dogfighting in their house. Well, that's health and safety, too. Every one of them that I really think of, they really catch somewhere else. And that's why I said that, you know, if we lost morals, you know, I don't see a great impact.
So we could take that out.
We could take that out and still achieve the objectives of what we started out to do.
Yes, sir.
Okay. The second item, and I broke this when I read this down into two areas here, commercial buildings and residential area. And residential area, we're concerned about those homes that are burned, that are in neighborhoods, that are impacting property value. And as Roger discussed, at our last meeting, our church dealt with a building that was falling down, and it sat there for several years before we could get anything done with it. So that impacts the property value and other things. So I support this ordinance, but what I had problems with is the word moral and people getting all bent out of shape regarding one word, and we know our intentions.
Right.
But someone else reading it may not know the intent.
This is true, and, you know, when you look at all of this, the ultimate checks and balances on it is the what's really the court system.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to remember that with any of this, the building official decides to do an ordinance. I would be the prosecutor, so it would come to me, do I think this is worthy of prosecution? Is this something that's not? So there's a check. We go to the judge. The person has a right to a hearing before the judge, basically a bench trial. Maybe the judge wouldn't think much of it mm-hmm. if it's this type of situation, but ultimately they have the right to go before six other fellow citizens. And, you know, that's the ultimate check on all of this. If it's, to me, if we're really doing something that's out of hand, overstepping our bounds, there's nothing like a jury to put you back in your place.
And I think what Mr. Hamoki was saying, that as time goes on, and when you become Attorney General, then you're no longer there, then someone is reading this and may not be fully aware of what we're trying to do.
Right, but basically, I'm just saying that maybe to address some overall concerns, just making it clear that those checks are in there, but we can accomplish our goals, as we've stated, without that specific word.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm not against this ordinance. This ordinance makes sense. I just, one, I think prison as one of the identified consequences of doing something is wrong, because there's other vehicles. If the person keeps paying a fine and so forth, eventually the judge can, collect fines. If he stops paying fines, then he's in contempt. He can put him in prison. So there's a vehicle, to get somebody to prison via this. But as far as Ms. Price and I both agree, once you start getting, take the word morals out, because if morals are in there, all of a sudden you get to the various descriptions.
It's up.
And, it's really lends itself to abuse and... I'm just not going to say anymore. I just think it's offensive to me to have some kind of an ordinance which so loosely defines something that could be a violation. And I think it's prone to abuse. And, the history of the U.S. is full of good-intentioned laws that were used as a weapon in the past. I don't need to draw a picture here.
I hope we don't do that. Look.
Well, no,
thank
no
you.
I'm not saying. No, well,
can we move on? I think we've all agreed. Morals is out.
I've been trying to say something, and I don't know that I've already heard it or not, and maybe I have, and maybe I haven't. But I think when we started this process, it was to take care of something that was very egregious to the community. But we have managed somehow to put in some little things that, as I rode around my neighborhood today, that I know that there would be lots of people who can't afford $200 that would be affected by this. And I am concerned about that, and I want to say that on the record, that I think that this, that if you get a young, energetic building inspector who doesn't have a lot of other things to do that could go around and find some of these things and really, really take care of some real problems for us. But in the meantime, I think that this is so wide open, and it's so I don't want to say all-encompassing, but it does seem to be that way to me, that it takes into consideration some long-standing problems that we've had and I'm glad that we're trying to take care of it, but I do think that we have to be very careful how we prosecute, that it has to be even-handed and clear across the board.
One of the things that that made me feel more comfortable with this was the fact, having had the experience, and Roger, I don't know whether we'll go through this or not with others, but knowing that we waited 2 years for a person to do what she should have done, and she ended up not doing it. We did it for her by tearing the building down. But knowing that lengthy process says to me that you're not going to come in and you're not going to tell me that, Leslie, you've got a building that's unfit and I give you 30 days or 10 days and you've got to make it right. But there is a process, and then finally, it's not just one warning and that's it. And then finally, you use other mechanisms to try to make it work. Am I right?
I'm telling you to call for the question.
Yes,
yes or no?
Yes, I mean, that's the intent. Certainly staff, I can tell you that this is a last resort, but they're, like you just explained, they're hitting that brick wall where nothing else will work. And what we find that works is an ordinance summons. And that's why we believe this option is necessary. And really, it's a classic balance of, more checks and balances you have and the more second chances, the slower enforcement is. To have quicker enforcement, the trade-off is some of these less warnings, less extensions, less... That's classically what you're balancing as a legislative body, but we're just, experience is telling us we need something where we can work more quickly, more effectively, and the ability to issue ordinance summons sooner, we believe, is what's going to work.
Well, the other school of thought, and Ms. Claiborne, that I had as I looked at this, was that the majority of the people, I think, want to make sure that their neighborhoods look decent. They want to improve their dwellings that they own or rent or whatever. And what are the mitigating circumstances that allows them not to? Is it because of them not knowing who to contact, getting a reasonable contract, or what are those circumstances? I know this is getting into much we don't want to get into, but certainly I think that as we find these dwellings, and we have a list of things that we can recommend to the to these folks before taking action, that may be very helpful as well.
Right, and I know that staff does try to do that.
Okay.
Find someone who's truly indigent, and it's a situation where they don't have the physical capability and or the money.
Right.
That's when you start looking at resources. Is there a volunteer group who would help
right.
clean this lot up, those kinds of things. But I know
that's
specifically talking to Phil Noah that he has done that. But on the other side, you got the same guy who may own 10 houses in the city and they're all wrecks and he has the means to do it and he's just waiting until you're
divorce him to, right.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, okay. I think I had mentioned I support the ordinance as it is. If the person has 10 houses, he's got 10 violations, that 10 separate summonses, and if he doesn't satisfy, you know, you send out a second set of summonses, and that's $500 a shot. That gets kind of expensive after a while. I don't care how deep your pockets are. I think there's enough in there without putting that person into jail.
I disagree. Folks, we're not creating a monster here. The code enforcement person works for the city manager indirectly. I can't imagine a code enforcement officer acting like you folks are worried about him acting or her acting without an immediate clampdown on the part of his superior. I mean, this is Aiken. We're not empowering somebody to come around and take a poor, impoverished, low-income person to court because the grass hasn't been mowed. I mean, there's an element of judgment, I think, that our staff would use. And keep in mind, we developed this ordinance for some egregious issues that need to be addressed. I think the concept of putting someone in jail for not enforcing it as a last resort, and that's the way it's written, is very appropriate to be in here. I mean, I'm not sure I'd support it if it weren't. I mean, it's our job to say this is what's wrong. You can't do this in the city of Aiken, and here's the punishment. And with all due respect, some of these people, money's not a problem for them. And it will never be a problem for them. But I guarantee you that the thought that they could possibly be incarcerated for 30 days, not more than 30 days, might have more of an impact than simply writing a check for a violation. We want to get the violations under control, and I think we ought to empower our staff to do that however they need to, and I would not expect we'd ever put anybody in jail for this. But I like the idea of having that as a potential.
Well, should we change it to no more than 60 days?
No, 30 is fine with me. The way it's written is fine with me.
Okay, this is an ordinance that we're considering here tonight. It is second reading, public hearing. Is there any public comment?
John Wade. I did have a long conversation with Mr. Moore today, and I've listened to all of you, and before the motion is introduced, we're not going to really know how it's introduced. I would like to see morals taken out because that was my major concern from the first reading. And if that is done, then I agree with that portion. And I do see on number 10 on page 79 that it was removed in that part. I do also see that on page 80 on number D that the five residents were also removed from the first reading to this reading. But I still have a major concern, same as Mr. Homoki, on this 30 days imprisonment. And I want to address this maybe to council members Don Wells and also Dick DeWore, whether you can or cannot answer, but what your feelings are about guns. Do you own them?
Does that have anything to do with this ordinance?
Yes, it does.
I don't understand.
Well, that's where I'll get to. I think you're falling on a very slippery slope. The federal law states that if you have been convicted, not if you've been charged with a crime that can lead up to 1 year imprisonment, whether you're convicted of that or not, then you're not allowed to own a firearm. You're saying 30 days in here, but as slippery as that slope gets, and your two that I'm listening to, is that 30 days is no big deal. So the next time, 1 year is going to be no big deal. And I have a big problem with that.
Jonathan, I don't know if this will help you or not, mm-hmm. but we can't put anybody in jail more than 30 days according to state law.
Okay.
Am I right, Richard? I mean, that's the limit of our authority to put somebody in jail is 30 days. We can't do it. If we wanted to do 60 days, we couldn't do it.
Still, the my comprehension of both the comments is that 30 days is no big deal. And I think 30 days is a big deal. I do agree that you need to clean up some places, and I do agree that the situation was to, if you've had a safety issue, but I think that it needs to be addressed. But I think that there are laws on the books, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that there's laws that will address all of this without compounding and adding a bunch of more rules and regulations on top of another one.
If there were, John, we wouldn't be here with this ordinance.
Well,
and I wasn't cavalier about 30 days in jail. I can't imagine anybody looking forward to 30 days or less in jail. It's a serious punishment.
It is a serious punishment, but as Ms. Clyburn stated, that some people can't afford the fine.
Would you think in Aiken that if we had somebody that couldn't afford to clean up a piece of property that we'd put them in jail for that?
And this has been said time and time again. It's not a matter of my opinion and your opinion. I think that if my neighbor couldn't afford it and they were going to jail, yes, I could give them the money. But this governing body is going to change at some point in time, and I'm not going to be up here, and other people aren't going to be in here. And this is something that's cast in stone.
It's cast in stone until another council decides to revisit it, look at it, and make any changes. Yes,
ordinance
we pass.
Or this council, as far as that goes.
Sure.
And also, Mr. Wade, I wasn't making light of a 30-day sentence. I'm just saying that we don't wish for anyone to go to jail for those 30 days, but we are serious about getting them to take care of abandoned property, and we are serious about getting them to take care of a burned-out property. Now, we're very understanding when it comes to dealing with them and dealing with insurance companies and the time that you have to wait. But when it exceeds that, that's when we get a little antsy. And we're not doing that just simply because it's an eyesore to ride through. We're doing that because there are other tax-paying citizens in our community that live in that neighborhood, and that piece of property is affecting their property as well.
And I fully agree with that, and I have no problem with that. I still have a problem with the imprisonment when I think that it can be addressed by a fine.
I think that's a motivating factor that would be in this ordinance, and this is exactly what we're trying to do, is share with people that, you know, if you've got a piece of property here in the city of Aiken and it's just dilapidated, if it's burned out, then you need to get something done with it. We are so very understanding, just as Ben Moore said, you know, if city staff sees someone and they realize that this is they need their lawn mowed and they financially can't do it and physically they can't do it, city staff's not going to send or recommend that these folks go to prison for 30 days. They're going to recommend to some nonprofit group to get out there and help these people clean those yards up. But we've got to have the big portions of this ordinance in order to ensure that properties do not sit burned out for 8 months, 10 months, a year, and just walk down the street and there it is, affecting other citizens' property.
We'll agree to disagree. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other one in the audience who would like to speak to this issue? If not, it's
here's one.
Okay.
Colleen Reed, I'm very pleased that you have this ordinance and that you're considering passing it. I'm involved in a lot of different projects throughout the city, and in the Edgewood community, I've been through there several times, and there is a lot with abandoned vehicles, tires and stuff, and their hands have been tied as far as getting the owner of this property to clean it up. With this ordinance, this property will be cleaned up, and it will enhance that community. So thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? If not, it's back to City Council, and at this time, I entertain the idea of a motion.
Well, I don't know about a motion, but like I say, I support the ordinance. It's just some of the wording, you know, the morals, which I think we all agreed is out. And I think the prison term, somehow or another, if we could keep this on the civil side instead of the criminal side, which would address his concern about once you get a criminal conviction of some sort of a certain duration or certain fine, you're ineligible to keep weapons or buy weapons.
It doesn't apply, from my understanding.
But this is, yeah, but this is in the criminal sphere as opposed to the civil sphere.
Well, tell that to the neighbor who trying to sell his house and can't because his neighbor's got a project that's been half completed for a couple of years and is tearing down the value of the property. I can't ever imagine that anybody would let it get to the point where they're going to put themselves in the position of going to jail for less than 30 days. I mean, by that time, Steve, they would have had to respond to a citation and respond to a court, not paid a fine, or paid a fine and done it again. I mean, it's pretty egregious behavior before somebody would get in that position.
Mr. Mayor,
to make
yes.
A motion.
I move that we approve this ordinance with one revision, removing the morals word in the appropriate places, which I think there's two or three places Mr. Moore pointed out. So that's a motion, please.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor of approval of this ordinance, let it be known by raising your right hand. All opposed? 3-3.
Oh, it's on.
I think it fails, doesn't it?
Does not pass.
That okay, motion so. Does not pass, but if somebody wants to go ahead and present a different motion, they certainly could do so.
And if we don't pass anything, we will not have any ordinance dealing
then
with nuisances.
Have any ordinance.
Okay, that's fine.
Could I suggest
Mr.
that we approve this, removing the
fine
prison term?
Yes.
Yes.
30 days?
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor with the revision removing the morals and taking out the
jail term,
let it be known by raising the right hand. Opposed? Passes 4-2. Next item on our agenda tonight is the Senior Citizen Commission. Mr. LeDuc, please.
One of the council goals was to go ahead and form up some kind of a manner where seniors within our community can go ahead and have better representation and be able to discuss this with City Council. At the last meeting, you approved it, and we were going to go ahead and draw lots out of this box here and determine which area you'd represent. So I'll pass this around, and then once you get it, if you could let, by verbalizing this to Sarah, she'll know then which one. And we'll start with our ladies first.
Oh, wait a minute. You want to be? Just trying to get you.
Go ahead and let Sarah know.
I can say it.
Yeah.
Aiken County Government.
I have the Council on Aging.
I have the Lower Savannah River Council of Governments.
I have at large.
There's a lottery here.
At large.
I have the medical community.
And the mayor has the education community. So what we're asking you to do is hopefully during the month of November he'll come
Roger,
back.
I'm confused. He's got at-large and I had at-large.
There's two at-larges.
But when you look...
We made a mistake. Well, I made a mistake when I wrote the memo here stating that there would be someone representing the assisted living, and that was not the way it was proposed in the last section.
Okay, so that one's up.
Very good catch, though.
Well, especially when there's one at large and we have two. Thank you.
And during the next 30 days, if you could bring back your recommendation, if you need any assistance on it, certainly let us know and we'll go ahead and help you. And this group will be meeting with Glenn Parker and his staff.
Okay, thank you. All right, moving on to new business. Tonight we have one item, and it's the approval of the name for the park at Richland Avenue and York Street. Mr. LeDuc, please.
This past spring you asked us to come up with a name, and the suggestion was that we'd give the citizens an opportunity to come up with several different names. These names were then presented to the park, the Recreation Commission, and the Arts Commission. And then before you tonight are a couple of suggestions that we would like to give you. One was, the number one selection was Heritage Park, with York Street Park as their second choice. Council may have other suggestions, or if you'd like, you could use one of those that was suggested to you by those two commissions.
I like the name personally, Heritage Park, given the surroundings. Mr. Mayor Pro Tem?
Yes.
I would like to move that we accept the recommendation of the Heritage Park for the name for the
second.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Is there any public comment? If not, it's back to
You're going to have to sit up front next time, Colleen. It's taking way too long.
That trip cuts down on your 5 minutes.
I just want to thank you all for considering the name of the park, and I think Heritage Park for this area is absolutely perfect.
Thank you. You know, I'd just like to say that for years there was a gas station there on the corner of coming into our city, and I'm just so thankful. You know, of course, many years ago it was in operation, and then many years it changed and operated as other things. But I think this park is just going to welcome people into our beautiful city. I travel through some other cities that have small parks like this, and every time I drive through those, I look and see where there was an old filling station, and it's been turned into a beautiful park. And I'm just so thankful that we have this and have it located where we do, on the corner of York and Richland, and I just think it's going to be a tremendous asset to our city. We have a motion and a second. Choosing the name as Heritage Park. Is there any other discussion? If not, all those in favor, let it be known by raising your right hand. Passes unanimously. It'll be Heritage Park will be the name. And if there's no, yes.
Mr. Mayor Pro Tem, we did have the second ordinance dealing with dwellings unfit for human habitation that we didn't actually vote on.
Well, actually, I read them both at the same time.
So it was an intention to pass the second one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's how I read them initially with both those names.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. If there's no further business, we stand adjourned.
Good job, Mayor Brett.
Thank you, sir.
Which one did Donovan have?
I have a signature up here. Run a sticky meeting.
Well, okay.
Just
Right along.